This talk, Krishna, Absolute Joy, was given by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar on August 10th, 1996, at Santa Monica, California.
The soul search of every being, soul is joy. Wherever one is searching, whatever one is looking for joy. Whether it is spiritual or material. Whether it is in the movies, bars, or in the church or temples. Whether it is money, fame or power, the search simply is for joy. And divine is all joy. Divine is existence, consciousness and bliss. Or joy. Bliss is nothing but qualified joy. A joy which is devoid of feverishness, suffering, pain, you call bliss. Love comes along with pain. Silence is little serious. Joy is mischievous. You cannot have mischief if there is no joy. And Krishna is all mischief. Krishna is absolute joy, absolute bliss. Nothing whatsoever could take away the joy from Krishna. If you just look at Krishna's life, it's miserable. He was born in the prison. An astrologer told his uncle, who was a king, that your sister's son is going to finish you. He will rule the entire nation. You are ruling a small province. What is it? Just this news, the uncle, in his capacity as the head or king of the province, put his own sister in jail and killed one by one all the children. Though he was told by the psychic that the eighth child will be the one, but he said, why to take risks sometimes? Psychics and astrologers can make little mistake in the numbers. He said eighth, what is the guarantee? Maybe the sixth or the fifth or the seventh may be my enemy. Anyway, why to go through life with all the problems? He had his own logic. And the child has to grow older and go to school and do all the thing and suffer in life. Send him straight away from where he came. Immediate return ticket. put back in the plane. He butchered one after another 7 children. 8th was Krishna. The news of his birth in the future brought so much suffering to his parents. When he was born, his father abducted him, took him to another village, and quietly replaced the child and took another child back in its place. This was a voice he heard, an ethereal voice. And when this child which he replaced was a divine child, when that was brought before the king and when he was about to chop its head off, the story goes, the child flew up. It was the spirit, the Holy Spirit, Mother Divine. She took off in the air and started laughing. So you cannot capture me. Kansa, the uncle of Krishna, is a symbol of ego. Ego is far away from joy. It is the ego which tries to kill the joy in us. Children are so full of joy because there is no ego. The moment ego comes, separation comes, division comes, we destroy that bliss, that beauty, that innocent joy. Not the Holy Spirit, the embodiment of power, could get into his grip. The female child which replaced Krishna flew up in the air. The spirit could not get into the trap of ego, the Kansa. So Krishna was brought up by foster parents. There also in his life, one after another adventures. He was like a small king of another province, where outside Kansa's, the uncle's regime. Kansa sent several people to kill him, but was unsuccessful. And Krishna, when he was just 8 or 10, before he was even 14, fell in love with Radha. She was much older to Krishna. That love was such pure love. And people didn't know why they were all in such love with Krishna. Everybody would flock around Krishna. He was so mischievous. Mischief is outcome of joy, outcome of bliss. Children are very mischievous. And as parents, we shun their mischief. Tell her, hey, don't do this, you shouldn't, stop. It's very normal for children to be mischievous. Should let them do that. I mean, sometimes it brings trouble for the parents. But there is fun. What is life without fun? Haven't you all done some mischief? Tell me, really. Yes, no? Just remember what are the mischiefs you have played. Krishna said many lies, played, troubled people around him, and the trouble was such a sweet trouble. People would like to be troubled like that. In ancient India, they would carry pot in their head with water, and they would go and throw a marble and break the pot. And they'll all be wet, well-dressed women who carry pot on their head. They'll come and complain to his mother, "Look at your son, he's so naughty. He's not even 7, but he has become a riot in the whole town. He doesn't let anybody be peaceful. Comes and mixes the curd yogurt with milk and milk with yogurt and steals everything out here and there, throws things away, breaks our pots. He teases us. The women would go for swimming in the lake and he would hide all their clothes on the top of the tree. All sorts of mischief he would play. And people would come to complain with anger, but the moment they come in his presence, they could not control their laughter. They didn't know why they are laughing. They would start giggling. All their anger would vanish. In the presence of pure bliss, joy, all your complaints vanish. Life appears like a play, a game. Life not to be taken too seriously. A few days we are here, few years we are here, it doesn't matter much. Taking every trouble as a challenge is one way to look at life, or brooding over, oh, this is not all right, that is not all right. Complaining and crying, wailing. This is foreign to joy. Joy creates mischief. Joy creates problems. That is mischief, no? Mischief is creating problems, challenges. And Krishna would create many such challenges around. If you see the life of Krishna, wherever he goes, he went, there has been some fight or war. All through. Any town he would go, somebody will fight. And he would stand there smiling at them, laughing at them. In one angle it looks very cruel. But another angle you see from the truth, it is just a game. It's like watching macho man fighting. The muscle man, the boxers fighting. 10,000 people sitting around are yelling and shouting and enjoying. There the man on the floor is sweating. It's a standard practice, right? Somewhat similar to that is the whole life. Everything is a play, a game. So Krishna calls it Leela, a game. Often there is a saying in India, listen to what Krishna says but don't follow what he does. Everyone starts following Krishna, the whole town will be in trouble. Another name for Krishna is Nanda, Nanda Nandana, Nanda. Nanda means joy. Ananda, bliss. Nanda, Ananda means bliss, joy. That is another name for Krishna. How this can happen? Only when you are hollow and empty. You know, what you have in your hand indicates what you are inside. This is what I'm saying. If you have a gun in your hand, it indicates you have fear inside, you are violence. Right? If you have a flower inside in your hand, that indicates you are like a flower. And if you have a flute in your hand, that indicates you are like a flute, hollow and empty. So what you hold in your hand indicates what you are inside. Krishna has the flute in his hand, and his whole style of standing indicates his philosophies. One hand is firm on the ground, one leg is firm on the ground, the other leg just crosses and touches the ground. Just touching the ground like that. A dance can happen when your feet is above the ground, but on the ground. If your legs are buried in the mud, your life cannot be a dance. And if it is up in the air, also not possible. One leg has to be firm in the ground, the other can be up in the air. A dance happens then. When joy is the dance of life, and the life of Krishna is such a dance. You cannot imagine Jesus dancing. You cannot imagine, forget, Buddha will not dance. He will just sit with a big smile, and eyes closed, sometimes half open. Sometimes he will talk, sometimes he may not. But Krishna, you can imagine him everywhere, anything possible. You cannot pinpoint Krishna as one thing. Somewhere he can ride a horse, be a charioteer. Some other place he can be dancing. Some other place he can be teaching. Some other place he may be gossiping. Krishna is the symbol of all possibility, the total blossoming of all aspects of human or divine, whatever you call that. It's very difficult to really understand Krishna's personality. The rishis call him the full embodiment of the divine, the total. Because all that a human or man could be, a being could be, is all in Krishna. You can see him as the perfect friend. Once one of his close aides tells Krishna, "Oh Krishna, I cannot understand you. I have been with you for past 50 years. And now you confuse me more and more every day. At one point I see you as such a courageous person who could alone fight war with so many people. At other times you are so afraid you go and hide yourself in the closet. With some people, when somebody came, a particular person came, one of his relatives, he just told, oh, tell him I am not there, even he hid himself in the room. Once he left his chariot, everything, and ran away from a war field. He was called Ranchod Rai, he got a name. He says, what is this? You're completely behaving eccentric. One time I see you so powerful, another time I see you like a baby. So scared. One time you come out with such great wisdom, another time you are asking me advices. I am such a simple man. You are asking me what I should do, should I do this, should I not do this. You ask me all advices about how to rule a kingdom. One place he is a servant, at another time he is the king of the whole province, the whole nation. He takes such good care of the subjects. And he went as an ambassador. What role he did not play is very difficult to say. He has played all the roles. Arjuna was ready to quit everything and go and sit in Himalayas and do meditation. He was not ready to fight any war. Now he sat there, brainwashed him, told him you must fight the war. Says, why? Well, people will think bad about you. What they will say? You such a great warrior, run away from the war. This is not right. Arjuna did not bend. Then he went on. He said, anyway, everybody is already dead. I do everything. You just be an instrument. Do your job. And he's such a good teacher because he taught as a friend. Said, Arjuna, you are my friend. So I am telling you, for your own good, you have to fight this war. In the battlefield, if someone could sustain that depth of awareness, clarity of mind, when everybody is in such chaos all around, and giving the highest knowledge to his friend, and taking his chariot through that, is something wonderful, something unimaginable. Every aspect of Krishna leaves you in awe. Uddhava himself says, Krishna, I fail to understand you. Yet I have not seen another reflection like you. Krishna, the embodiment of total joy. There is a story about Mulla Nasruddin. You want to hear? Mulla Nasruddin was in the hospital. He had bandage all over the face. Only except his eyes, every part of the body was bandaged. Every bone was broken. It was in a bad accident, car accident or something like that. So his friends went to visit him and asked Mulla, Mulla, how are you doing? Mulla said, fine. It hurts only when I laugh. Said, it hurts only when I laugh. People, what? You said you can laugh at this condition? Mulla said, if I cannot laugh now, then I have never learned laughing in my life. You can have a big smile when everything is fine and smooth, but when everything is upside down, then if you can smile, then you have got something in your life. Then you have lived life, you have achieved something. You see what I'm saying? And Krishna's joy was one such joy. Everything was upside down, chaotic, wherever he went. And yet, his smile would simply capture everybody. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam, only one thing, just a smile from him. He was not a very beautiful personality. He was short and dark and thin also, not too well built. But his smile was so great that people would forget all their sorrows, worries and problems. And joy would simply flood. Krishna was also called Navaneet Chora. Navaneet means one who has become like a butter. Means even the recluses, the saints would fall in love in that field of energy. Even people who have renounced everything and has gone to a corner would get interested. The dispassionate one will be drawn into. The word Krishna itself means that which is attractive, that draws everything in. The very core of your being is such, you know. The bliss of the self, joy of the self is like that. It just draws everything. In a symbolic manner also, it is so beautiful. So Devaki means the Devaki. The body, Vasudeva, the prana, the breath, together brought forth Anandakanda, the joy within. The bliss within. Radha is the longing and Krishna is the symbol of joy and love. In Gita, the most ancient knowledge, the knowledge of the life, of being, of the world, Krishna explains so many things about the food, about the body, about the three guna, the three types of our tendencies in us. Like you have in Vata Pitta Kata, Kapha in Ayurveda, you have Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And what are the types? What are the divine qualities in us? So much knowledge is given in Gita, step by step to Arjuna. And he addresses the divine in three persons. Third person, very comfortable people are with God to address him. And then second person as you, and first person as me, I. And for someone to say that, come and surrender to me, it needs enormous courage. And the state of the mind or being will have to be totally hollow and empty. Only then it's possible. Only then it is possible to take the total responsibility for the entire creation. And that is the full blossoming of divinity. When divinity blossoms in you, you'll say the whole creation belongs to me. And you gain the strength and power to take the responsibility for it. You see what I'm saying? Krishna is absolute joy. There's no doubt about it. Now, do you have any questions on it?
Talk about why he's always depicted in the color blue.
Color blue. Yeah, why Krishna is depicted in color blue? It's very interesting. See, whatever is vast and infinite is represented by blue. Sky is blue, it's infinite. Ocean is blue, it's vast. So just to indicate or represent the limitlessness, the vastness of the inner space, they depicted in ancient days all enlightened people or fully blossomed one in blue. Not that they were blue babies.
Why Krishna has a wife Radha and all the gopis? You know, I would think like a spiritual person would be single and celibate. Or an enlightened person, I mean.
There is a difference between lust and love. In love, there is 2% of lust. Like you have 2% fat milk, you have. In love, there is 2% lust. In lust, there is 2% love. You might have noticed, you know, children when they are in deep love, what they do? They come and hug you, they hang on to your neck. And they don't know, they kiss your ear, they lick all parts of your face, neck, and they don't know what they are doing. What do you call it? Lust or love? There is love, but the act is very lustful. Right? Same thing with a dog, a puppy. So if you are away from home, if you are away from home, the puppy will jump all over you. And it goes crazy. It doesn't know what it's doing. It is expressing its love to you. Right? Love, intense love wants some expression. And how do you express? You hug, you shake hand, you give flowers. But nothing really satisfies. Right? Love cannot be fully expressed, but still it cannot be without expression. This is nature of joy and love. It wants to find an expression. And the love of gopis and Krishna was such a love. There was just 2% less there. All that story with the gopis you have heard was all only till Krishna was about 14. At 14 he left that place and went up north. What would 14-year boy do when so many people flock around him? 10-year-old child do when so many people flock around him? He was such a charm and people could not stay away from him. Like a magnet, everybody will come. Boys and girls and rishis and old, young, even the cows, it said the cows and cattle, they would all just follow him. They'll wag their tail and ears. This happens. If you have noticed in your own home, sit in a place and meditate. The moment you get up, and if you have some pets in your home, they will go right, jump onto that couch right away and they'll sit there. Have you noticed? How many of you have noticed this? If you do Kriya, and after doing Kriya, you will see the dogs or puppies or cats in your home. They'll come and circle around that place. The entire creation rejoices the centeredness, the bliss, the joy, the being. The whole creation is female, only the being is male, it said. One of the gopis says, once one gopi was staring, waiting for Krishna to come on the street. She was looking and looking, staring. And Krishna came that way and passed, but still she was staring and looking. So another gopi asked, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you looking? He has come and gone." He said, "Did he? Did he come and go? He also took my sight away." Another gopi says, "The love between you and me, only my soul knows, but my soul is with you. I don't even have a soul." Such deep love, such depth of joy, such depth of devotion was like wildfire all around Krishna. Once the queen of India, Delhi, queen mother Kunti tells Krishna, "Krishna, I wish I had more troubles." And he asked, "Why, sister, why are you wishing for troubles?" She said, "You were always with me when I had troubles. Now there is no trouble. War is finished. I have become the queen mother. But you are going away." I said, "Nothing could equal the joy of your company. No comfort, no pleasure. Any misery is tolerable in your presence. Your presence is so great. I can trade in all the pleasures in the world for a moment of your presence. I can tolerate all the misery in the world, universe, for a moment of your company." Kunti says this, tears in her eyes. At the time, Krishna gives her more knowledge of the being. "Look, I am in you as you. There is not a place in this planet where I am not. The fools who think me as my body, I am not the body. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram." People think me as a physical body and they do not really know my nature. Body has the eight aspects. earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intellect, and ego. Body is made up of these eight aspects. But I am the ninth. I am beyond this. And I am all pervading. And foolish people do not know this. They think me, I am a human being. Though I am in the body, I am not this body. Though I am working through the mind, I am not the mind. I am not what you see me as. I am much more than what you perceive me as. I am present in your heart as you. And any time you need me, you call me. I am the SOS service. I'll be right there with you. Take you out of your troubles and difficulties. You can always count on me. That wisdom, that humbleness, humility, is unparalleled. Sudhama was one of the friends who studied with Krishna under a rishi called Sandipani. He was a student there. Krishna became a king and Sudhama was very poor. Poor man, didn't have anything at all. And once the wife of Sudhama tells him, see, Krishna is your such close friend, dear friend. Why don't you go and ask him some help? Sudhama was a little shy, you know, how can I ask a friend something? I don't feel like doing it. But when there was no other go, he goes. There is a custom in India that when you go to meet somebody, you don't go empty-handed. You take something with, some gifts, that to a long, cherished friend, an old friend. So what he could take is nothing. His clothes are torn. He's so poor. And then in the home, he had just three handfuls full of rice puffs. What do you call it? Rice puffs. Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies. So he packs them in a piece of cloth, just ties them in a piece of cloth, takes them to Krishna, and he enters that palace. It's a gorgeous palace, so beautifully decorated, eloquent things there. And Krishna was sitting on his throne, and there are so many gopis around, servants around. And the moment he sees Sudhama, he rushes, comes down and brings him, washes his feet and offers his own seat. He puts him on the throne. Now, of course, all the gopis there, they felt jealous. We haven't seen Krishna treating anybody so much. But to this man who is so shabby, dirty clothes, putting him on his seat, on his throne. And then he says, what have you brought for me? Come on. You know, Krishna is always mischievous, a little. He make fun all the time. So he said, what have you brought? He knows that, but he was so shy, he was trying to hide his Rice Krispies. How I can offer this Rice Krispies? But then Krishna grabs hold of it and catches it, and then he goes on stuffing it in his mouth. And then the joy of meeting of the old friends is so much that Sudhama even forgot to ask anything for what he came, and Krishna forgot to give him anything. They both forgot. Krishna neither offered him, look, your cloth is dirty. He didn't even see his clothes. He didn't even give him a nice pair of dress to wear and go back. When two souls meet in such deep friendship, they forget everything. Everything was forgotten. So he was puffing his rice puffs, two handfuls in his mouth. Was rushing back. And Sudama also thanked him and he also went. And it is said when Sudama comes back to his home, he finds his whole house is transformed. And he had all riches in his house. His wife was very happy. Somebody came with a lot of gifts. Without asking and without giving. So it said, from any angle you see, there is a totality, there is a uniqueness in Krishna's personality. And that is to indicate that you are like that. Your innermost self has all the qualities in it. Like a ray of sun has all the colors in it. Do you see like what I'm saying? Through a prism, what happens? All the colors get manifested. But the same ray of light only through black or blue glass or red glass reflect only that particular color. But through a prism, the rainbow comes out. You see what I'm saying? And Krishna was such a prism, so clear, so full of joy. It's wrong to say Krishna was, Krishna is, because it is an eternal presence that is never lost. Yeah?
Expressed as in Christianity as the joy of Christ. And yet it seems like the joy of Krishna is somehow different than the joy of Christ, is, at least as Christ is portrayed after all these years. Is it the same phenomenon expressed in two different cultures, or is it somehow different?
See, there is no need to compare Krishna with Christ. Krishna is Krishna, Christ is Christ. Buddha is Buddha, they are unique in their own ways. And that was needed for that time, and that's what came up at that time.
Could you briefly give us the dates for all the saints you mentioned, Buddha, Krishna, and Christ, in terms of historical order?
What is the date of Krishna?
And Buddha.
Yeah, of course you all know about Christ and Buddha. Krishna is 5096, it's easy to remember. The day Krishna passed away from the planet was 5096 years ago. Exactly 5096
years. Guruji, can you explain me? At the age of 14, Krishna left. Why he did not remember Radha again? Why he did not come back to get Radha?
Why he did not come back? There was no need for him to come back, but he was already established in all their hearts. They always felt his presence. He had done his job. Yeah?
It seems that in our society that we're very much immersed in materialism, ego, competition. We're taught from a very early age to go for our dreams, never give up, just do it, you know, this kind of stuff, advertising. And my question is in going for these dreams that we all have, whatever they may be, first of all, why do we have these dreams and visions and goals? And second, how are we to distinguish the difference between the higher self and the ego? And in other words, can you say something to help me let go of my ego?
Anger. Let go what? Waffles. Give highest priority to human values. You know, our greatest misconception is we think that our worldly life or success is antagonistic to our inner spiritual growth. You think you need to be very nasty in order to be successful, crooked in order to be powerful in the world. I tell you, it's not so. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what exactly Krishna's life indicates. He was a king. He ruled the country. If you have to be a king, you cannot talk on love or just be simple or happy. Kings are the most miserable people on the planet. Because in a kingdom, somewhere something goes wrong all the time. Somewhere power goes off, electricity goes off. Somewhere there is a crime, somewhere there is some minister making his face. Somewhere the party is breaking up. A king is in constant pressure. A king can never be happy. The people aspire to become kings. Only kings know their fate. An ordinary man in the street can sleep well. A common man can have good rest and have a holiday. King is... it's impossible for a king to have it. But Krishna here is a symbol of having both. That's why he has the peacock feather. You know what the peacock feather indicates? Peacock crown. Crown is always very heavy, but a feather crown is very light and colorful. So you don't have to think that your ego or something is in the way. You only have to take a look at it. You see what I'm saying? Just spend a few hours for yourself. That's good enough. Half an hour per day you give it to yourself. And you will see your life will be so much different. And nature will support you then, in that sense, you know. You want to do something, things will start happening. Ego means, you know, it's separation, me and you. I am better than you. I am wiser than you. Or I am hopeless, I am not as good as you. Taking any such position and separating yourself from others is ego. The antidote is just being natural, feeling you are part of everybody and they are all part of you. Do you see what I'm saying? That's it.
Why did Krishna say that Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja? Why did he say to leave all religions and come to me?
Yeah, Arjuna was very thick-headed. Because he was the royal prince of the empire. That day India was not just the India that is today, it went beyond Afghanistan, it went up to Germany. Germany was also part of India, it was called Sharmanya Desha, it's mentioned in the scriptures. From Germany to Indonesia, New Zealand, the empire of India was there. Even Nova Scotia is mentioned. That which is, the name Nova Scotia is a Sanskrit name, you know that? The Canadian province said it's 9 hours away from India. That's exactly what it is, 9.5 hours from India. That which is 9 koshas, kosha is a distance of measurement, which is 9 koshas from the Ganges, bank of Ganges. So Arjuna was the prince of such a great empire, and he had to tell him, you drop everything and come and take refuge in me and me alone. Just like Jesus said, I am the only way, Krishna also said, I am the only way for you. See, your mind is very tricky. It jumps here and there. It leaves what is here in the present, but it keeps looking for something else, somewhere else, start dreaming. To bring the mind to the focus, all the masters in the past have said, come on, be here now. What is in front of you? Take it, do it. Where are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? Future. to arrest the wavering mind. Otherwise, like shopping, you know, you go on shopping. Many people go on shopping on this, so many things, nothing happens. And they complain, oh, nothing has happened. Why don't you stick in one place, go a little deeper there, you'll find the water. If you dig in the field 2 feet all over the place, you won't get the water. But if you dig into one place 20 feet, you'll find the water. So, in the end, after saying all that, Krishna said, Sarva dharman parityaja. Okay, come, drop everything. Drop all that. You don't even have to do any practice. Just be with me. Take refuge in me. I'll take you across. I promise you, says, for my devotee will never perish. So he's speaking from that highest level of consciousness. We can go on and on. It's very beautiful, even if you go chapter by chapter, little bit. It's amazing knowledge. It's amazing. Not just knowledge of something in the past, but today's practical wisdom comes.
रोम रोम में ओम ओम है सांस सांस में बोल हरि 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 बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि 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 बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि 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 बोल 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 हरि 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 बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि 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 बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि Hari 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 Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari 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 Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo.